The following message is by Pastor Jason Drapeau, Senior Pastor of Winchester Community Church in West Seneca, New York. More information about Winchester Community Church can be found at www.wincc.org.
There was a spring day once, perhaps not too differently from today. There was a guy who had died and was buried in a tomb for a few days. People mourned for him in that day. There was this morning, one particular morning, that spring morning, when that dead guy came to life again. And people celebrated. They were in awe. It was life-changing and the most amazing thing that anyone had ever seen. And it has been talked about literally for thousands of years, across thousands of miles, written in the best-selling book of all time, the Bible. This resurrection was the most memorable thing that anyone at any time had ever known. And it actually wasn't Jesus' resurrection that I'm referring to at all. Sure, I know you're probably expecting me to preach on Easter Sunday about Jesus' resurrection. And before you get up and leave because you think I'm not going to, no, stay. I will absolutely be sharing about the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I indeed will. But leading up to Jesus' resurrection, that which Easter Sunday is all about, I'm actually going to be giving us a look earlier at this other guy's resurrection that actually happened before Jesus came. You see, despite commercialism, the Cadbury Chocolate Company, and the Broadway market, which tries to woo our senses into thinking that Easter is about something different, Easter's centrality on Jesus Christ's resurrection is absolutely true and profoundly relevant and real. However, what resurrection means to you and me is what we're left with every Easter since, and every day of our lives since, really. So if we don't get resurrection, period, right, then this will just be another Easter, and then 364 days of life back to living like we've always been living it. Not so sure that that Jesus resurrection day was intended for us to live like we're living today. So what I'd like to do is share with us that which we can really stand upon every Easter, every day. And it comes down to the fact of resurrection specifically, and how we in our lives understand it to be. And so I'm going to use this other guy's resurrection as a basis for that, because this other guy's resurrection has something profound to say to us on this Easter Sunday. I invite you to look with me at the true historical narrative account of a man among Jesus' earthly friends, this man named Lazarus, and his earthly passing and his real and bodily miraculous resurrection, Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life again. We can find this account in history, in Scripture, in John 11. So I invite you to turn open or turn on a Bible that you have, one maybe you can tuck in your pocket that has a power supply that goes with it, or a Bible that you have brought, or even a Bible in the seats in front of you, as I'll be using one there the same. If you're using the red Bibles before you, you can find John 11 on page 568. And I invite you to turn with me there at this time. I encourage you to read all of John 11. The entire chapter has some wonderful truth. All of Scripture is true, and God-breathed, of course. But John 11 gives some great details about this resurrection, and you'll hear me share in a few moments about how it foreshadows Jesus' own resurrection. But we're going to be reading some specific verses in the subset. You can see on the bulletin and on the screen behind me, John 11, verses 17 through 27. So what I'd like to do as we see those verses on page 568 of these Red Bibles, John 11, starting verse 17, I'd like to catch us up to that point, if I could. So here in John 11 is a brief historical background of Lazarus and his resurrection specifically. Lazarus was the brother to two sisters. See, it sounds like I'm reading an obituary right now. The Lazarus, loving brother of two sisters. He was the brother to two sisters, Mary and Martha. They loved Jesus. They believed in Jesus. And they supported his earthly ministry by hosting Jesus as he taught with his disciples in the region of Judea in Israel, specifically nearby the city of Jerusalem. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, beloved amongst Jesus and the disciples, lived in the real historical town of Bethany in Israel, which was just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. For perspective on the proximity and also perhaps maybe on the nearness of almost rubbing shoulders with Jesus in his Passion Week, the week where he gave his life and rose again, this is some perspective. Jesus was betrayed on a sort of hilly olive grove just outside of Jerusalem called the Mount of Olives, in a garden there specifically, the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Mount of Olives was just around the corner from Bethany, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived. We remembered and solemnly commemorated this betrayal and the Last Supper and those things during the Maundy Thursday worship service earlier this week on Thursday. Some other geographical perspective, Jesus' trial and his flogging and his crucifying execution occurred within the limits of the city of Jerusalem itself, just a few miles from the home of Laz and Mary and Martha. And they themselves, specifically because Jerusalem was the next nearest city, they probably, these three, frequented the city of Jerusalem as it was a bustling metropolis of sorts in the time. It's amazing to think that perhaps maybe Laz and Mary and Martha walked the streets for shopping or for leisure, maybe the very same streets where Jesus dragged the heavy cross where he was crucified. Perhaps maybe treading on the same cobblestone streets where Jesus' blood and sweat poured. And that we remembered and reverently worshiped together regarding on the Good Friday worship service just a few days ago here. And at Jesus' resurrection, upon Jesus' death on the cross and his lifeless body being laid into a tomb, the tomb was a small, freshly carved out area in a garden region nearby, just sort of around proximity to the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Again, near where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were from, because Bethany was just nearby that, with their home in close proximity and travel to and from Jerusalem to Bethany and Bethany back to Jerusalem. We don't necessarily know this yet, but I wonder if as Jesus was raised back to life from that garden tomb in Jerusalem, and whenever Jesus, alive and in his earthly ministry in Jerusalem, frequented Bethany and Lazarus and Mary and Martha, I wonder if Jesus in his resurrected body appeared to those three during what 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 through 6 says was a period of 40 days and an appearing to more than 500 people. How cool would it be if Jesus, I mean, it makes sense, maybe, if Jesus stayed and hung in Bethany when he was with his disciples in Jerusalem, how about when he was raised in Jerusalem? Did he visit them in Bethany, being himself the resurrected Messiah? All the same, we know about this Lazarus from John 11, 35 and 36, that Lazarus was someone whom Jesus loved very, very much. And this Lazarus, before Jesus death, burial, and resurrection, before Jesus' crucifixion, his betrayal, before this time, this Lazarus became sick and then bedridden in his own town of Bethany. and then close to death, and then this Lazarus died. And now I invite you to pick up with me the account of Jesus visiting Bethany. That, the backstory, that which came before in John 11, I encourage you to read on your own time. Now we have Jesus, for all practical purposes, appearing to kind of like pay his respects to the family of the deceased. It's sort of what it sounds like for us. We might build that bridge or that parallel, I suppose. But Jesus has got something far more transformational to do in Lazarus' life, in the family's life. And Jesus, I pray, has something far more transformational to do in your life and in mine today, this Easter Sunday as well. So I invite you to read with me in John 11, verses 17 through 27. John 11, 17 says, "So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Verse 20, "Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus," verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, I know," verse 24, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Continuing on in the historical retelling of Lazarus' passing, Jesus shows up to the funeral with Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, grieving, just like we just now read. Martha believed, as you heard, that Jesus could have done a miracle to heal Lazarus if Jesus showed up a little more timely. Perhaps maybe Martha had seen Jesus do some of these miracles in this day. I mean, Jesus performed a number of miracles in and around Jerusalem, and Galilee to the north, where other miracles were done, was not terribly far. Perhaps even news had spread of Jesus and his miracle-working power. But all the same, in Lazarus' passing, when Jesus tried to console her regarding Lazarus living again, Martha thought Jesus meant eventually. Like, yes, in heaven, I know, he'll eventually live, and his soul will be alive, because you know, Lazarus and Martha and Mary as well believed that Jesus is the holy Messiah of God, who would take away sin and open up heaven to all who would believe in him. But Jesus was about to show that he could do even more than that. Jesus was about to raise this boy back up to life again. And not to spoil the story for you too badly, please read the rest of John 11. It's so good. But Jesus really did raise Lazarus to a real bodily life again, just as Jesus said he would. And I'll share more about that later. Once again, doubling back to the beginning of my message, I understand if you're like, okay, someone should really get up there and tap Pastor on the shoulder and telling him he's reading the wrong story. It's Easter. You should be talking about the other guy, you know, like the God-man who was raised to life again. That's what Easter's supposed to be about. Yes, that is true. Easter is about God the Son being raised to life. I completely understand the sentiment. I get it. Easter, this is about the historical and factual and celebratory account of the real bodily victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preachers all over the world right now, probably at this very hour, are preaching about Jesus' resurrection. Why in the world am I talking about some other guy? Lazarus ain't anybody special, Pastor. He's just another person who lived full of sin and died a normal life and lived a normal life and died a normal death. You know, Lazarus is just like me and you. Oh, I think I might be starting to understand. See, Easter Sunday is year after year, for so many people, just another day on the calendar. I mean, it might be a celebratory day for some. But what if we get one day of the year right and 364 days of the year wrong? I would say that the stat is not great if that's how we're living. See, if we celebrate Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday as a historical fact, and then go back to our respective homes, have some delicious Easter dinner, you know, with all kinds of the fixins. If that's you, please let me know what time I should show up. And then a day or two later, we go back to work or back to school, and you know, just like life was before. And next Sunday, as much as I would love, we all would love to see all of you and more, we know that some travel and some only come, only can come on certain holiday times, and we might not be able to see everyone on every Sunday, and so Sundays then just become like normal days. But see, there is one commonality amongst all of us and in every day, really. One common thing weaves us all together. We all face the same initial fate as Lazarus. One day we will all die ourselves too. Whether we will get sick slowly and become bedridden at home and pass and be buried, or whether our final breath will come suddenly, like that which has happened sorrowfully even in my own family. And as you heard me share earlier in this service in the church family, the same. The point is this: we need to hear of the possibility of our own resurrection while we are still living. Because when we are gone, it is too late. And at Lazarus' funeral, Jesus shares with all of us about our own personal, individual, intimate, relational belief of Jesus' own resurrection as the basis, the status, the fruit, and the foundation of whether or not we will be resurrected ourselves with Jesus, who resurrected, or why I should say was resurrected himself on that Easter Sunday. We've got to get right resurrection, period. And Jesus, before his resurrection, shares with us about resurrection, period. Which is why on the Sunday where we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, we're looking at resurrection, period. I want for us to see this in awe, this punctuation, this period. Really, it's an exclamation point that Jesus shares, something that is so awe-inspiring and filling and utterly amazing for us in John 11. You might think, again, I get it, you know, pastors up there preaching about some other guy's resurrection, but what Jesus is doing at Lazarus' resurrection is he's teaching us about resurrection, period, and then he is foreshadowing his own resurrection so that we can have a basis for our life once Jesus has been raised himself to life. Just look at this with me, if you would. John 11, one more place, 25 and 26. Jesus, at another man's funeral, is actually foreshadowing his own and how Jesus is more powerful than funerals and is, in fact, the guaranteed hope of resurrected life that we can stand upon as we are every day living in the shadow of our own funeral. Every single moment we march closer and closer to that day. So Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus is sharing with those who are living. You do know that, right? As a pastor, I've officiated a ton of funerals and memorial services. You know that the only one in the room that can't hear, the only person in that place for that officiant's message that will make no impact to them whatsoever is the one in the coffin. The cremains in the urn cannot be shaped, moved, or transformed by God and His Word. It is too late. The funeral is a place, a captive audience for those who are living. Jesus shows this par excellence. And look at what Jesus says in John 11:25. This is amazing. John 11:25, Jesus does not say that in He, Jesus, comes the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't say that. Nor does Jesus say that we will see Jesus, or in Jesus there will be a resurrection and the life. This is something that Martha missed. This is something that so often we miss. Look at this in the verse before, verse 24. Martha goes, yeah, Jesus, I know Lazarus will eventually be raised. You know, like, on that day, he'll be there in heaven because he believed in you, Jesus, on earth. Jesus is not talking about that day or eventually. Jesus is talking about right now. Right now. The songs we sing, the reality of the fact that Jesus and a relationship with Him gives us promise, hope, and joyfulness of heaven right now, here and now. Because Jesus says in verse 25, not there will be a resurrection and a life. He says, I am. In your presence. Lady, hello. Don't look there at the tomb. Look here. I'm the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And even if whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, even if you have died, you'll still be alive. To the living, those who are still hearing in Jesus' midst, Jesus himself makes known that our living is predicated on believing in Jesus, who not only did become the resurrected one, yes, see, I'm talking Easter Sunday and Jesus' resurrection, right? Jesus did become the resurrected one, but in Jesus' presence, he is the resurrection, period. He is the life. And this is all the more fascinating in the fact that in Lazarus' raising, Jesus foreshadowed this in advance. A number of years ago, I had opportunity to hear a Christian apologist. That is not someone who goes around saying they're sorry all the time. Apologetics is the theological sort of study or basis or opportunity to defend the Christian faith from skeptics and cynics and those who have objections. And I heard something very compelling, and perhaps it'll be compelling to you, that defining or premeditating, pre-sharing, foreshadowing in advance, pre-declaration, is an incredibly valuable truth. It's an incredibly helpful thing. If I were to, for example, keep the cards close to the vest, and just like live very privately, and something were to happen to me, and then you forgot about me, and decades later you gossip mill and something, you hear something about me, you'd be like, okay, whatever happened to he, it's not really very compelling to me. But let's say per se that, and I'm not anybody. But let's say that I had shown my cards, said, all right, so this is going to happen, and then this, and we got this going on, and then that's going to, and then this is going to take place, and then you've written all this down, okay, and then that, and then, all right, cool, so you got it, good. And then X time later, it happens, just like it was foreshadowed in advance. You'd be like, okay, this is interesting, maybe pay attention a little bit more. We think that way sort of Jesus, the former. Like, Jesus is some religious figure, and I don't know much about him, and once or twice a year, at his birth and his death, everybody gets hyped, big deal. Not for me. But that's not what Jesus did. You see, Jesus, time and time again, while living, did not keep his life and his future close to the vest, but he shared God's will for him plainly. Listen to these, and you can see some excerpts. In Mark 8, 31 and 32, Jesus speaking and shared that he, the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke this word openly. Again, in Mark 9, 31 and 32, he, Jesus, taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they did not understand this saying. Go figure they didn't understand what Jesus is saying. Because come on, Rabbi, no one can rise from the dead. Whoa! Enter John 11. And Lazarus's funeral. Lazarus, dead as a doornail, stinky, smelly, 4 days, tomb rotted, and Jesus comes. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus is asking the same question to us this very day. Now, back to the narrative. You probably can already understand what happened, as I did already share what took place at Lazarus' funeral. The funeral was ruined in a good way. Jesus called for Lazarus from within the dark and cavernous tomb. Lazarus, formerly dead, bona fide dead, came walking out alive again. P.S., I don't know if we think God has a sense of humor, but when they buried people back in that day, they wrapped the body tightly, and when Jesus called into the tomb, he didn't send in helpers. He asked and expected Lazarus to come out by himself. I mean, how hilarious would that have looked? And just like many of us, after this Easter Sunday service, we got some all kinds of fixins in the table and all kinds of celebrations going on. Man, back in Bethany, they had all kinds of celebrations going on. They had I don't know if they had really somber and sorrowful sandwich platters, but they became joy-filled, celebratory feastings, way bigger than what might happen around your Easter table or mine. In the joy of having brother Lazarus back to life again, I don't know if Jesus was forgotten, but Lazarus was certainly remembered and clutched to like he had never been before. And whether or not Jesus was remembered, this is what we need to remember. In Lazarus being raised to life, Jesus was foreshadowing his own resurrection again In Mark, like I mentioned, he spoke plainly about this. The disciples didn't get it. Jesus is like, how boneheaded can you be, disciples? Fine, I'll show you what's going to happen. And Jesus did it. And the disciples are like, oh, I think this might really happen. Jesus foretold of the resurrection. Jesus foreshadowed the resurrection. Jesus foreaccomplished the resurrection in Lazarus' own real and bodily resurrection. But Jesus would not do this so we would have ham and a butter lamb and then go back to work tomorrow. Instead, Jesus did this so we would get resurrection right every day. Because when Jesus, with a captive audience at Lazarus' funeral, says, do you believe this? I believe Jesus really meant it. And so I believe that we should take his question seriously. I just mentioned that we'll be tempted to leave here, have a nice Easter celebration, go back to work or go back to school and go on with the rest of our lives. I don't know if there was temptation in Bethany for people to go back to the rest of their lives. They probably had a new appreciation on life after seeing Lazarus raised back to life again. You know what's interesting? The one person that did not go back to life the way it was used to being lived, you know who that person is? Lazarus. Funny how it takes a dead person coming back to life again to change a person. You see, history records Lazarus, after his resurrection, as being like Jesus, shadow, inseparable from Jesus' side, practically. Lazarus, who formerly had just been chilling in Bethany, you know, like setting up the Jesus and disciples Jerusalem area Airbnb in case they came by and were doing some ministry there. Jesus now had Lazarus everywhere that Jesus was. Lazarus was with him all the time. In fact, it says in a number of other places, like later on in John 11, because of Lazarus' resurrection and parading around as eyewitness of his own resurrection, Lazarus being that person who's the real witness in the flesh of this fact, it says many people, John 11:45, had seen the things Jesus did and believed in him because of Lazarus. And as such, it says in John 11:53, from that day on, from Lazarus' resurrection day, the chief priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law plotted to put Jesus to death. You want to know what was the nail in Jesus' coffin? The pry bar in Lazarus's. How cool is that? And not only that, of all these things, even later in John 12, verses 10 and 11, says that the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Because on account of him, on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. In some respects, you get hyped for Laz because he came back to life again, but then you feel so bad for the guy. He is the only person in recorded human history that we know of who had to die twice. Oh, poor guy. There may have been others, but all the same, with Lazarus walking around, dead man walking changes people. Friends, church family, first-time visitors all alike, here in our midst are dead women and men risen to life again. They sit to your left and to your right, in front of you and behind. You might not recognize them as being formerly dead. P.S., that's okay, because the strangers around Jerusalem, they didn't recognize Lazarus as being formerly dead here. They didn't know Laz. They didn't know anything about him. There was a hubbub around the city whenever Jesus and Lazarus came in, but they didn't know him as if he didn't like still stink of a rotting corpse while walking. You know, he looked and was very much alive. They didn't know his business. Some of you might not know each other's business either. But you know what? You know yourself, if you are honest with yourself, about how you might not have been physically dead, but you certainly have been spiritually dead, and joy dead, and passion dead, and hope dead, and future dead, and dead in our sins in 1,000 dead ways more until we had believed in Jesus. I assure you of this, friends, the earth is filled with women and men, girls and boys, young and old, who have previously been, in very many respects, dead and lost and apart from Jesus, destined for eternal conscious punishment and hell forever after they succumb to their own earthly deaths because of their sin. And yet, while living, they've still believed in Jesus. They have come to know now, like not eventually in the last day, but now, the in-midst resurrection of the life, Jesus. They've believed and are now alive. And in the same back then as is today, the Easter conclusion is the same as Jesus gave at Lazarus' resurrection. It's the same that Jesus gave to his own disciples after he appeared to them, after he, Jesus, was resurrected. It's the same that Jesus foreshadowed and foretold openly and plainly time and time again, and then came to reality in Jesus' own death, burial, and resurrection. It is this question that must be individually answered, personally reconciled before our death in order for us to have resurrection. Because without faithful and ardent and personal belief in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, we ourselves have no hope for our own eventual resurrection, and we have no life. Jesus said to her, Jesus says to us all, I am the resurrection and the life. He or she, we, whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This question is for you. It is for us. So that we might believe. So that we might have resurrection and life. Will you believe this today? For it is marvelous. Please join me as we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask and pray that you would lead all of us to answer rightly this question. Do you believe this? Pray, God, the Holy Spirit, that you would have your work in us and that you would not let us escape this place, that you would not let us later tonight drift off to sleep without having an answer of yes. God, our Father, I pray and ask that you would take from us, in every sense of the word, dead, deader than, or the same as Lazarus, and make us alive again. For you, Jesus, are the resurrection and the life. And you didn't talk it cheaply, but you showed it obediently by going to the Garden of Gethsemane and following through with this excruciating yet necessary plan and will of God. You went to Calvary and bore the sin of the world and took care of the loneliness that we have because of our estrangement from you, O God, and you bore the burden so that we would
would be free to be called children. And God, if you move in our midst, for all the faithful who believe this, we will see you, Jesus, resurrected and real, face to face. So God, I pray that even in this song, you would make believers of us today.